Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
And Shabbat Shalom to anyone who is watching this today. Got a very serious message to give today. And it's an end time message about things going on. It's called Spiritual Adultery of Commercial Babylon. The Spiritual Adultery of Commercial Babylon. And I'm just going to start out with a few verses for maybe 5 minutes or so, just going into what Babylon is, because almost everybody thinks Babylon is a church, Babylon is only a system, or Babylon is this and that. And we know from Jeremiah 50 and verse 8, flee from the midst of Babylon and go out of the land of the Chaldeans and be as the he goes before the flock. Babylon is a land. So I have many, many messages on America being Babylon. This is not what this is about today, but I do, at least for someone who may be hearing about Babylon for the first time, just want to go into a few things about America being Babylon and why that is important. Revelation 18 and verse 4. Revelation 18 and verse 4. And I heard another voice out of heaven saying, most translations put, come out of her, my people, that you not share in her sins and you may not receive of her plagues. Good translation, but even better, literally, it's leave the land. So it's not just coming out spiritually, which it is, but it's also physically leaving the land of Babylon, because Babylon is being judged at this point. So he's saying, come out not to receive of her plagues. Jeremiah 50 and verse 23, back to Jeremiah 50. How the hammer of all the earth is cut off and broken, how Babylon has become a ruin among the nations. And literally, that word hammer is superpower. You know, one that crushes. And, you know, maybe 20 years ago, I've been teaching America being Babylon since the mid-1990s. And maybe back then, you know, you did have China on the rise at that time, which they're still on the rise. China is to one degree a type of superpower, but nothing like America, because we know Babylon is about a trading nation and a free nation and a democracy, which China is not. Russia also, as we see, Russia is really, to be honest, not a real strong nation, but they do have the military might because of the nuclear weapons they have. So that makes them strong in that end. But how really can anybody say that America is not the hammer of the earth? There is nobody even remotely on the earth going around, and particularly since January 20th and 21st, when we, you know, President Trump took over, that is literally demanding things of countries or saying that he's going to, you know, force it. And not since Hitler have we seen a leader coming in literally even threatening to take countries over. And not like countries that are, you know, communist countries, you know, like where Maduro is or something, you know, down in South America. But Canada, you know, literally to take Canada over, or Greenland, or these places. So there is no hammer of the earth like America, and that's what it's saying, one that pounds. So I don't know how anybody, you know, can, you know, if Babylon is a nation, how on earth can anybody deny that the only one that fits all these is America? And I've heard everything. I've heard even Saudi Arabia is Babylon, and it's like, come on. Come on, we got to put these all together. And again, anybody that may be watching this for the first time, as far as America being Babylon, please, I have many, many messages online about it that clearly go into this, because like I said, I'm going to take a whole other turn here shortly, but I will go into a couple more scriptures before I do that. Revelation 18 and verse 23. And again, before COVID, this scripture, which was important, but really COVID brought this scripture alive. And the light of a lamp will not shine on you never, and the voice of the bridegroom and bride will not be heard in you never. So we see the bride of Messiah will not be left there whatsoever. So something that should make any brethren who's still there panic to a degree. You know, sometimes people say they're nervous, they can't sleep at night. And I say, I don't know what to tell you. I've been sleeping good the last 26 years because I'm out of there. That's all I can tell you. I can't tell you when Yahweh is going to destroy Babylon. Only he knows that. But I can tell you he will destroy it completely. There will not be one person left there. And why is this? Look at what he says. For your merchants were the great ones of the earth. Your merchants were the great ones of the earth. So when you look at, you know, the great merchants of the earth, when you look at, and look at the next verse, for by your sorceries, your pharmakia, all the nations were deceived. Can anybody doubt after COVID? By your pharmakia, by your medicine, your sorceries, Merck, Pfizer and Pfizer, J&J, all the ones that literally, not only did they develop you know, these vaccines during COVID that killed everybody. They ran it. Can you imagine the governments, these puppet governments, were running nothing, and every single government of the world went with Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum and the, what's the other one, the World Trade Organization, all these other ones. So if you were not shocked at what happened during COVID by the merchants of Babylon, then basically shut off the message and don't listen to the rest, because you're blinded. So literally he says the merchants were the great ones of the earth, and by their pharmakia all the nations were deceived. And it didn't stop with COVID. COVID was a big wide opening of that. It was happening way before COVID, and it's happening today, the same thing. So clearly just showing, you know, how the U.S. pharmaceuticals, and not just the pharmaceuticals, but the corporations in America, it's frightening. I mean, you're seeing corporations now that are bigger than countries. Their GP, you know, not GPS, their GDP, that are bigger than countries. It's amazing how countries now are in the trillions of dollars in their worth. All American companies, of course, that's going on there. So Revelation 18, go back a couple of verses. Verse 9 through 11, again, and the kings of the earth will weep for her when Babylon is destroyed, and will wail over her, those having fornicated and having luxuriated with her. Babylon is the richest nation on earth. When they see the smoke of her burning, standing from afar because of the fear of her torment, saying, woe, woe to the great city Babylon. And again, in ancient times, cities and countries were interchangeable. Babylon was a city and Babylon was the nation. Rome was a city and Rome was the nation. So it is interchangeable. The strong city, for in 1 hour your judgment came, and the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her. Why? Because no one buys their merchandise anymore. So again, China may be a seller, and China may be producing all this, you know, garbage from all these dollar stores, but Chinese, even though there's 1.2 or 1.3 billion, they are not the buyers. The buyers are the Americans. They're the ones buying all the junk. And that's why the merchants are weeping and wailing, because there's nobody there to buy their stuff anymore. Right, and then it goes into all the stuff that's traded. And again, only America has a commodity exchange worldwide that trades in all these things every single day. So again, this message is not to prove America is Babylon. I've done that many other times, but I do want to start it that way just for new people, and just to even the people that aren't new, to kind of give an aspect, because I really haven't given a message on Babylon in a while. And it's fulfilling. I mean, if there's anything you want to see in Scripture that is prophecy being fulfilled, wow, it's America being Babylon and the second term of President Trump, you know, as Nebuchadnezzar, the, you know, end time Nebuchadnezzar, and is completely shocking. I just saw an article yesterday, I'm putting it in our newsletter, next newsletter, from, I don't know if you saw this, President Trump, you know, who was the head of gold, Babylon? In the White House, he changed everything, the doors, even the coasters, everything of gold. He put gold on everything. Even the presidential seal, he changed all this stuff and put gold there. Just like you see Trump Tower, you know, that everything made of pure gold. And it's really interesting. What is Babylon known for? Because they are the head of gold. They are the pure gold. So, I mean, Scripture is really jumping out like never before. And on the dollar bill, what does it say? In God, G-O-D, in God we trust. Who was God? God was the ancient Babylonian deity of fortune, of fortune. So that's who they're trusting, the G-O-D of fortune. And Babylon does have more wealth than anybody in the world, but we know that's coming to an end with the debt and many other things going on. But that is only to start the message. Really, what I want to get in today is one chapter before that, Revelation 17. Revelation 17, because if you're watching world news, there are some really, really disturbing things that are going on here just in the last month, really disturbing things. And it's hard to keep up with the news. Praise Yahweh, I have some brethren that help me, that send me news articles for our newsletter we send out, because there's a lot of also trash that's in the news. It's hard to tell these days what's real and what's fake. But wow, there is a lot happening, and it centers around what I'm going to go over today. Chapter 17 says, in one of the seven cherubs having the seven bowls came and spoke to me, saying to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot. This is Babylon, sitting on the many waters, right? That's one of the things with America. the Atlantic Ocean, the Pacific Ocean, the Mississippi River. There's waters on every side, the Gulf of Mexico. Oop, excuse me, the Gulf of America. I got to be politically correct here, or maybe they'll cut down our website or something. With whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the ones inhabiting the earth became drunk from the wine of her fornication. And he carried me away into a desert by the Spirit, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, filled with names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And I went over this before, and it could have another meaning as we get closer to the end. Some of these things have dual meanings or even three meanings. But it's very interesting when we're looking at United Nations, which currently is this global world power that the beast is sitting on, right? And America controls it. Nothing happens in the world without America making these decisions. And just look at recently Israel. Just about every country in the world is against what Israel is doing in Gaza. But America freezes everything, that the UN can't even do anything against Israel. Although they have big meetings coming up this week on that, another story. But anyway, there's seven heads. What are the seven heads to the UN? Five permanent members of the Security Council, plus they have a rotating president, and they have the attorney general of the UN that's there. That's the head of it. So they have seven heads and ten horns. They have ten rotating members. So with the five permanent members of the Security Council, you have 10 rotating members that, I forget if it's every 2 years or whatever it is, that they switch them on. So literally, it's seven heads and 10 horns that are there. And the woman was clothed in purple and scarlet, be girded with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand filled with abominations and unclean things of her fornication. And wow, does that fit America? I mean, you can't believe it, even to the point now where a parent has to worry of sending a five-year-old to school that they're going to literally not just tell them homosexuality is good, they're going to change their sex from a male to a female or a female to a male while they're at school. Talk about evil stuff and fornication, unclean things going on there. But what's really interesting also is the woman is clothed in purple and scarlet. And when you look at the Statue of Liberty, originally the robes were purple and scarlet. It was given by a man called Bartholdi, who was a 33rd degree Mason. And he gave in literally, when the Statue of Liberty was first made, it had a golden cup. It did not have a torch. So you could look that up. There's a lot of things about that that show. But again, who could it fit? And on her forehead was a name having been written, Mystery Babylon the Great, Mother of the Harlots, of the Abominations of the Earth. And again, you don't have to go much further to see where it's coming from. So Babylon, this is what I want to get into, Babylon the Great Prostitute. And it's always been this way. The scary part is that for Americans, I think even around the world, people are so used to it now. It's like it doesn't even shock them anymore. It doesn't shock them of the great prostitute literally marketing absolutely everything. I mean, absolutely every last thing in America is marketed. And like I said, to the point where we were just there, you know, not that long ago. And even just, hey, I got to get gas. And as I'm getting gas now, there's little screens that are there as you're pumping your gas that are giving you commercials and marketing you. So again, you know, when things started with Facebook and wow, this is great, I can get in touch with all my friends from high school. Oh, Mark Zuckerman is such a great guy that he developed this, and we all know he did not develop it for that. The people that developed Facebook with Mark Zuckerman admitted that they did it to deceive the people. They did it to brainwash, especially the youth. And that's exactly what happens when you go to these different things like Facebook and these other social media things, where they purposely make it where, you know, when you put up your like or your dislike, these things don't come up for seconds and dopamine comes in your brain. And it's literally, they said, like a slot machine, like pulling a slot machine. That's why you can't just pull it once, because it's like this addiction that comes there, just like potato chips, right? You can't eat one. Why? Because of all the garbage that they're putting on there that is making you want another one and want another one. And this is literally, it's every aspect of the human life. So if people can't see why now to come out of that system, I mean, I would think during COVID, because we lived it, we saw it. I don't have to share with anyone in the world. Some places not as bad as others, but everybody lived it. Literally, countries were shut down. People were locked in home. You couldn't even go get food, right? Couldn't get on an airplane. economies. You know, I mean, Babylon runs the economy. They closed the economy. I mean, this was unbelievable what they did as a preview. And it was only the beginning, right? It was only a test. They didn't stop because of protests or anything else. They stopped because the test is over. And now when the next one comes, it will be the real one. But that's should show us that, like I said, it's not just in marketing you to sell you things. That's a big part of Babylon, right? The merchants are selling things. But what it is it's really to have full 100% control over the human mind. And what they're doing now is literally, it started with COVID, and even before COVID it started. But with COVID, as far as changing DNA, you know, it did do that. Remember, it was not a vaccine they were injecting in people. It was a technology to have the brain do something to change the, you know, it's mRNA technology to change your DNA in your body. And literally, we know that now, that people's DNA was literally changed from that. But everything in a human being's life, from the food you eat, from the minute you wake up, you know, and now they're saying most people are 12 hours a day on that stupid phone or computer, whatever. So from the minute you wake up, you are being conditioned and you're being brainwashed. And most people don't even realize it. They think as they're going on their computer or their phone or whatever, things are coming on that they want, things that they programmed. And it's not that way whatsoever. It's things that they're programming for you. And I don't know if you noticed it, but in the last 6 months now, AI has taken over all of the internet. Everything now, you can't even go anymore to just check. People used to go to Google and this stuff. Now everything is AI that comes, what AI tells you. But again, food is one part of it. The clothes you wear, everything pertaining to health, right? And that's why you have probably 70% of the world out there that will tell you the vaccine was actually good and saved lives, even though there's millions of people that are dropping dead from it. And still today, go from the time that that vaccine started. Look at the cancer rates. Look at the people that are 30 and under that are having strokes and heart attacks. And then they're just telling you it's normal for that to happen, right? So the brainwashing that's going in, like I said, food, clothing, health, political views, and every single thought you have is being programmed. And a lot of people are saying that's not really that bad. Can you imagine? Do you want, like what Yahweh gave us, he could have made us like the animals. He could have made us. The greatest gift in the world he gave us to make him like him is free will. He gave us free will for us to think, for us to create, for us to make decisions. And that's what Satan wants to take away. And that's why in the end time, you know, and I know I wondered for years, why, you know, like if I commit adultery, if I lie, if I steal, I can be forgiven. But if I take a chip or if I, whether it's a chip or if I do something, QR code, whatever it is, if I do something where I'm just trying to buy food, I'm going to lose my eternal life. Because it's a lot more than just buying and selling. It's about control of your mind. And that's the battle right now. It's a battle for the eternal life of people. And Satan wants to control your mind, and Yahweh wants you to control it through him. I put before you life and death, choose life. So Yahweh is not controlling us. He's given us free will. But Satan, just like what we saw in the reading with Balaam, he's trying to deceive the people into giving that free will away. So everything is being manipulated through who? The God of this world. Ephesians 2:2 calls him the prince of the power of the airwaves, right? And it's not just the airwaves of internet and those. That's a big part of it. But literally, our body is a frequency, you know? And now the technology that they have to use frequencies to control people and brainwash people is astounding. It's absolutely astounding. It's amazing the technology that they're starting to use on this. And that's why I say you have to either at least limit or get off that internet or you're done, you know, because if you're on that thing limitless, then how much Satan has to affect you is how much you're on there. So I want to read something here about the religious part of it, because I really want to get into, I'm going to talk a little bit about the internet here and some of the things with the internet, but I really want to get into the spiritual adultery of Babylon and the fact of it's so normal today. that it is so normal and people aren't even offended at the spiritual adultery that America Babylon has brought to the world. And literally, if you look at quote-unquote Christianity, which covers anybody that basically is a believer in the New Testament, that's what Christianity is here. So I'm not breaking down Christianity into denominations. I'm just saying basically the word Christian is in your Bible three times. We don't use that word because of what Christianity has become today. But when I mention today the word Christianity, I'm talking about anyone that believes in the New Testament, that in the Laodicean era, 99% of people, Christians, no matter whether you're Sabbath keepers, names, whatever, you're corrupted. And you've allowed that corruption of Babylon to come to you. So I want to read a story here from a man called David Reisner. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He's, I think, a Christian pastor. And this is a true story that was here. This man has a school of ministry, and he came across a quote that was attributed to someone called Reverend Sam Pasco. And it's in History of Christianity, and maybe you heard this quote. It says, Christianity started in Israel as a fellowship. It moved to Greece and became a philosophy. It moved to Italy and became an institution. It moved to Europe and became a culture. And it came to America and became an enterprise. I don't know if you've heard that before. It's pretty famous. I've heard it before. I never knew really where it came from, but I heard it. But what's interesting, as he's teaching and he's going over this, what happened after that? And he said, I wanted them to understand and appreciate the importance of the last line about, you know, now Christianity in America. He said, so I clarified it by saying, an enterprise, that's a business. After a few moments, Martha, the youngest student in the class, raised her hand. Yes, Martha, she asked such a simple question. A business? But isn't it supposed to be a body? I could not envision where this line of questioning was going, and the only response I could think of was, yes. Then she continued, but when a body becomes a business, isn't that a prostitute? The room was dead silent. For several seconds, no one moved or spoke. We were stunned, afraid to make a sound because the presence of the Almighty had flooded into the room, and we knew we were on holy ground. Elohim had taken over the class. For 6 months, I thought about her question at least once every day. When a body becomes a business, isn't that a prostitute? There's only one answer to the question. Yes, the American church tragically is heavily populated by people who do not love Elohim. How can they love him? It doesn't even know him. And I mean really know him. I stand by my statement that most American Christians do not know Elohim, much less love him. The root of this condition originates in how we came to Elohim. Most of us came to him because of what we were told he could do for us. We were promised that he would bless us in life and give us life after death. We married him for his money, and we didn't care if he lives or dies as long as we can get his stuff. We have made the kingdom of Elohim into a business, merchandising his anointing. This should not be. We are commanded to love Elohim, and we are called the bride of Messiah. That's pretty intimate stuff. We are supposed to be his lovers. How can you love someone you don't even know? Are we lovers or prostitutes? I was pondering Martha's question again one day and considered the question, what's the difference between a lover and a prostitute? I realized that both do many of the same things, but a lover does what she does because she loves. A prostitute pretends to love, but only as long as they receive their compensation. And then I put, it's the difference between a servant and a hireling. So, sadly, you know, I can't say this is only the Christian church, because it's in the Sabbath churches. Unfortunately, even a lot of sacred name groups, 501(c), you know, making partnership with the government. And is it a business? You know, when the body becomes a business, it's prostitution. And when you look at what religion is, and I say this all the time, you know, we get letters in the mail, please send me your catalog, you know, like we're Walmart or something like that. Every single thing, even recently, when we were having our meeting in Orlando, and there were some Christian people that I had met that were excited and were hearing the word, and they asked if they can come to the meeting. And I said, sure, you can come. And they asked me, how much does it cost? I'm telling you, this breaks my heart. To see the most sacred thing in our life has become nothing but another part of Babylon. Just everything is about conditioning and selling. Like I said, I got to get gas and I got to hear 3 commercials. You want to hear a 30-second thing on YouTube that somebody's sending you that might be important about something. And you got to listen to 3 commercials for it. Every single thing in our life is being marketed. And the fact that Yahweh's word is being marketed, nobody seems to care. They don't seem to care. They don't think that there's anything wrong with it. And, you know, just think, what's the difference between prostitution and marriage, right? I mean, it couldn't be more contrary than what it is. And here we are. That's what we're living. We're living in a world where our faith, our religion, the most important thing in our life, has become nothing but prostitution. And nobody even seems to care. Praise Yahweh, not in our congregation, you know. But our congregation is like this. We're tiny. We're minuscule. And it really, it breaks my heart, because the one thing if I could do in life is I wish I could share my faith with every single human being on the planet. And just the truth, just how people could be happy, how people could have a relationship, you know, how people could be part of something bigger than themselves. And yet in the world we live in today, all people care about is commercial Babylon. And I do have to say, although in our congregation, you know, I don't see, you know, this spiritual adultery the way I see it in Christianity, I do have to say I'm scared for 90% of our congregation, because they're not embracing communal living and they're not embracing coming out of the world. And they do have those phones and they are on internet all day. And we are heading toward the end because people are being brainwashed. And it's not by accident. I want to read you this here. I put this together, but it's from things that I got on the internet. It says how the internet has been used to control humans on the planet. Satan is a great counterfeiter. And he makes something look good that is actually pure evil. He calls the killing of a baby a woman's right to choose. He calls homosexuality sin. He calls homosexual sin a lifestyle choice. So we know it. He has a way of changing terms and making it look good when it's not. Ephesians 2:2, he is the ruler of the authority of the airwaves. When the internet was created, the www, the 666. Why www? Why couldn't it be CCC? Or why couldn't it be KKK? Or why couldn't it be ZZZ? Why www? Because W is the 6th letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and it is 666. And like I said, like Facebook and email, we're also started to connect family with old friends and stay connected. But like I said, it's a farce. It was only created to track people, monitor people, and not just what they do, but what they think, to program human beings. And here we are 20 years later, 25 into it. And now it's being really, really progressed. Through the internet and iPhones, people are being tracked and brainwashed 24 hours a day, with making articles and ads for people based on their search results, history, and buying patterns. So like I said, when you go on the internet, right, these things that are coming up, there might be a third of them of stuff they're trying to brainwash you with. But then the other stuff is stuff that they have calculated that you'd be interested in seeing. So, you know, and then the old clickbait, something that they think you would see that you click on and it's nothing like you think it would be. You know, like there might be an article, is the mark of the beast really here? And I go, whoa, that looks interesting. And click on it and it's nothing to do with the mark of the beast. But now as you're reading it, you're being brainwashed. You know, you're being infiltrated. Your mind is being infiltrated by something that you didn't choose to do. So all of this is coming from our search results, our history, and our buying patterns. And like I said, it has to do with every single part of our life. Our health, your political views, your religious views, you know, you name it, your hobbies, whatever you like, you are being brainwashed by something that is evil, something that is satanic, by the devil. And why would believers be allowed him to do this? They've mastered the art of clickbait to keep people endlessly online for wasteless hours a day. From YouTube videos to TikTok to endless social media posts, Satan through the World Wide Web has control of most human beings on the planet. Revelation 13, I'm not going to go there, but we know it. You know, that it's all connected through the mark of the beast. Through AI, they are creating a digital clone of every human being on the planet and are even manipulating the human DNA. So this is the scary part now. And I don't know, I am not going to say exactly how long this has been going on for, but it's a while. But literally, every human being, every one of us has a digital profile. You know, so I think it probably started with the NSA, because they started this stuff supposedly for our protection, right? When everything happened after 9/11. But where things always start for your protection end with your death. So now you have this digital profile online. So any one of us, if for whatever reason they wanted to check into you, they could tell not just who you are, your name, your biometrics, anything with your health, you know, how old you are, all your schooling and all that. They could tell every last thing, what you like, what you don't like, where you're living. I mean, you name it, they know this. So what's happening is, this is why, like I said, each human being on the planet then, that they could send me things, you know, in my Yahoo or whatever that I'm looking at, that would be different than your Yahoo, based on what profile was created by me. The scary part now that AI is here, and like I said, it really has taken over. It's taking over the banking system a year or two ago, and now it's taking over the internet. So with all these things that are out there, the Siri and, you know, all this other stuff that come up there, that people are using it almost like that's what's right. It's not the Bible that's right. It's Siri that's right or whatever. But now they have enough information where they don't need to profile you anymore. You know what they do? That profile is making you into what they want you to be. And this is where they're saying where eternal life is going to come from. They know they can't even create one blade of grass. But what they know is that they can create a clone of any of us. And that's what it's about. They can make a human body look like a human body, and they could put a mind in there that was initially maybe like you, but now has become what they want you to become. And that's the mark of the beast. You know, that's why when you look at the dangerous part of the whole COVID vaccine, you know, it was bad enough the medical side of it, but the fact that there's a operating system in there, and they know for sure because they watched it, how all of a sudden, you know, when you come near 5G, that operating system comes apart, and how it's tracking people, because even people that were dead and buried, and I saw it, they would go into a graveyard with a Bluetooth thing, and they would see, okay, this is the guy's name, this is when he was vaccinated, this is whatever. So this is scary stuff, because like I said, it's not just anymore, okay, I understand it's Babylon, it's about buying and selling, it's about they're trying to get us to buy whatever garbage they want us to buy on a given day, but it's way past there. It's way past there. Satan wants the mind of every human being because he doesn't want us to become like Elohim, and he wants our free will. And sadly enough, many people have given it to him. And it starts here, like I said, the spiritual adultery, because at least the Bible, at least religion can keep people a divided line, right? So when you're looking at morality, what really is morality? Why is it more moral for a man and a woman to be married than two men? And that's actually now with that guy, Yuval Harari, is trying to bring out, you know, that the Bible is all fake and it's all nonsense. And what makes a man and a woman any more righteous than two men? And you know what? He has a point. If it wasn't for the Bible, what would make it more righteous? You know, if you take the Bible away, what is morality? Nothing. It's absolutely nothing. There is no morality without the Bible. But with the Bible, you better believe there's morality there. And it's evil. It's absolutely evil at the core, because it's against everything that Yahweh created. And two men can't procreate. You know, they can't do it. And they try to bring it down to things of just love, but it's not love, right? It's perversion. It's perversion about the sexual relationship that a husband and wife is supposed to have, that Yahweh created as a beautiful thing to create life. And that's not there with two men or two women. It's not there. It's not humanly impossible. So this is what we're dealing with. Voice recognition, surfing habits, marketing patterns, now through AI, chat box, Siri, Alexa, they are documenting, creating a profile for every human being, that now that profile is creating the human being into what they want it to be. And sadly, in some of our poorest countries, and I'm getting more and more reports on that, I just got one this week, they are pushing this on every citizen in certain countries now where we have some big congregations that if they don't do this, if they don't get this digital ID implanted in their body, look out. They're going to lose their bank accounts. They're going to not be able to work. They're going to have everything closed down. So we're here. We're at it. Not on a worldwide scale, but it's certainly starting. And once it starts with one country, as we've seen with COVID, where is it going to go from there? So we need to be praying about this because our brethren ain't going to do it. And I don't know what the end result is going to be that's going to come from this. But it's more than one country, mostly in Africa right now. But these are the things that are happening, you know. And it's scary how fast they are moving. I said this, I heard 2 months ago, and I heard it from United Airlines, that within 1 to 2 years, you will not have to go and check in anymore for flights, that you will do everything through the QR code. And if you don't have the smartphone, you can't fly. It's that simple. Just like during COVID, if you don't have a smartphone, you can't go in a supermarket. You can't buy food. So we are living there. And praise Yahweh, you know, I can't believe that it's 5 years ago since COVID started, but have we prepared? Are we preparing for that? Or is it just because it seemed to go on hold that we're just moving ahead and not wanting to think about it? Because if you don't prepare for it, that's the way to get past it, is preparing in faith and growing and community. That's the way that to overcome this. So again, religion is nothing but a business, and it started in Babylon, but it's all over the world now. The U.S. church, quote unquote, basically funds all churches in the world. And we had this happen, I forget the country, but it was in Africa, where a pastor, a Sunday pastor who came to faith and was all excited, and he told his congregation all about Shabbat and everything. He said, next week we're starting to meet on Saturday. And within hours, there was a knock on his door, and it was the board of directors saying, give us the keys to your house. We want you out by tomorrow morning. You're done. Because that's where it comes from. Praise Yahweh. We don't have the money to pay salaries. I'm glad we don't, you know, because if we did, we'd probably have the same problems, you know. But at least we know that all the pastors that are with us, at least most of them, maybe not all of them, some are there for power, and we find that out sooner or later. But most of them are there because they believe in the truth and they're looking for it. But in other facets, religion is nothing but a business. Everything is marketed, constant emails, websites trying to get you to buy books, DVDs, pay to go to a conference. Like I said, everything is marketed by the great whore, Babylon. And it's normal to people. People are conditioned that it's normal. They don't even see anything whatsoever that is wrong with this anymore. And it's part of the Laodicean era. Because in Babylon, the Christian church there, which is, you know, almost half of the society, so you're talking about at least 160, 170 million people that at least on paper claim to be Christian. And they think that they're going to be raptured off because they're better than other people on the planet. And they don't have to worry about any of these problems coming because they're going to be raptured to heaven. They think they're rich and increased with goods and need of nothing. And they don't know they're poor, blind, and miserable, and naked. And that's why we got a big job ahead of us, because we need to share with these people how they've been defrauded by the system, by Satan. But there's an alternative. There's something that's much better than what they're being marketed for in the, you know, the Church of Babylon. 2 Timothy 4. And verse 1 says, I solemnly charge you before Yahweh and the Master Yeshua Messiah, he being about to judge the living and the dead at his appearance in his kingdom, preach the word, stand by it in season and out of season, convict, warn, encourage with all patience and teaching. For a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own lusts, they will add to themselves extra teachers according to their own desires, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and will be turned aside to fables. And wow, here we are. All these silly, apocryphal books that are out there that people want to put more than the Bible, you know, the book of Enoch. And it's like, I mean, a 3-year-old or a 5-year-old at least can understand there was no writing in the times of Enoch. We have zero books from before the flood. And supposedly Enoch wrote all of these books and books and books and books and books that somebody has. Come on. It's totally, utterly ridiculous. And we know the book of Enoch comes from an apocryphal writer in the 2nd century BC that we don't even know who he is. You know, we have no idea who this guy is. And people are turning away from the Bible because of that. There's people that were Sabbath keepers in sacred name people for years and years and years that are now keeping Sabbath on Tuesday one month and Wednesday the next month, supposedly because of Enoch, and giving up everything of their faith. And I believe it's because Yahweh has already started separating the wheat from the chaff. And I think it's really, we are in that time of testing, and Yahweh does have to test all of us. So, well, if you can't see we're in the end time, like I said, you might as well just, you know, turn out and go off the planet. And if we see how close we are, it really doesn't matter at this point whether that closeness means 3 years, 5 years, even 10 or 15 years. It makes no difference whatsoever. We are that close to the kingdom of Yahweh. And the key is every day we have, we need, because we're not ready yet. We are nowhere near as ready to enter that kingdom. And if Yeshua returned now, none of us in this room may be there. So we got to make sure, we got to thank him for that time. So sure, of course, we all want the kingdom to come as soon as possible. But let's thank him for every day and every week and every month and every year that we have to prepare for that. Because as we see, oh, this is terrible. And this is only the beginning. We are only in the beginning of sorrows. And that means so many other things. You know, world war is going to be horrible and the people that die in the war. But the heresy and the things that are coming, and even, like I said, the denying of Yeshua, it's already started, but be ready for it. That, you know, they found Yeshua's grave, you know, in Jerusalem. And guess what? The bones are still there. What does that tell you, right? And this isn't speculation. There's books that have already been written on this. There's archaeologists that were digging, and it was outside the old city, so it definitely isn't Yeshua. But are claiming that that was his bones and his grave that was there. So this is real stuff that people are going to try through Satan to shake your faith like anything. And that's why your faith better be strong. Because like I've always said, you're not going to die for a doubt. And that's all Satan wants to do. All he wants to do is put a doubt in your mind, because a doubt is like a cancer and it will spread. So that's why we have to be in our Bibles, and we have to be in the 27 lessons, and we got to be reading to show ourselves approved. Because we are going into the hardest battle we've ever had in our life. And it has nothing to do with buying and selling. It has to do a spiritual battle with Satan trying to take away our eternal life. And he's going to do it any way that he can. Jude, the book of Jude, chapter 3. The book of Jude, chapter 3 says, "Having made all haste to write to you about the common salvation, beloved, I had need to write to you to exhort you to contend earnestly for the faith once delivered to the saints. For certain men stole in, those of old, having been written before to this condemnation, wicked ones perverting the grace of our Elohim into lasciviousness and denying the only sovereign Elohim and our Master Yeshua Messiah. But I intend to remind you, though, you once knew these things, that Elohim, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, in the second place destroyed the ones not believing," right? Wow, 2 million people leave, two go into the kingdom. That should scare us. "And those cherubs, not having kept their first place, but having deserted their dwelling place, he has kept an everlasting chains under darkness for the great judgment day, as Sodom and Gomorrah and all the cities around them, in like manner to these, committing fornication and going away after strange flesh, laid down the example before times, undergoing vengeance of everlasting fire." So here we see he goes into Egypt, where 2 out of 2 million make it. He goes into the time of Noah, where Noah and his family were the only ones and everyone else perished. And he goes into Sodom and Gomorrah, that basically, except for Lot and his two daughters. So in all these stories, he's clearly showing us in the time we're living in, there are not going to be many people. And Yeshua said it himself, "Will many people be saved?" And his answer was simple, no. No. So this is where we have to decide, is eternal life that important to us? You know, is the fact of Yahweh calling us and putting trust in us, not just calling us to get away from all the garbage going on in the world and get eternal life, but that he trusts us enough to call us? Is that the most important thing in our life? "Likewise also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh and despise authority and speak evil of glories." So a lot of these self-proclaimed people out there in the Laodicean era, that's what they're saying, you know, against any kind of leadership in leading people, the blind leading the blind. "But Michael the archangel, When contending with the devil, he argued about the body of Moses. He dared not bring a judgment of blasphemy, but said, let Yahweh rebuke you. But what things they do not know, they speak evil of these. And what things they understand naturally, like the animals, without reason, they are corrupted by these. Woe to them, because they went the way of Cain and gave themselves up to the error of Balaam for reward. We were reading about that, and perished in the speaking against Korah. These are those who lead a wasteful, feasting life that is blemished, feeding themselves without fear, waterless clouds, being carried about by winds, fruitless autumn trees having died twice, having been plucked up by the roots, wild waves of the sea foaming up their shame, wandering stars for whom blackness of darkness has been kept to the age, right? So this is what it's about. They're just marketing people. They're just out to get people for money. What does he say? The way of Cain? I went over this not that long ago, but I'll go over it shortly here. Genesis 4. What was the problem with Cain? And what are these false Christians, pastors, bringing out today? Genesis 4, 2 through 5. And she, Hava, continued to bear his brother Abel, and Abel became a shepherd of flocks, and Cain became a tiller of the field. And it was the end of the days, and like I said, that's the end of the harvest. It happened, Cain brought an offering to Yahweh from the fruit of the ground, and Abel brought he also from the firstlings of his flock, even from their fat. And Yahweh looked to Abel and his offering, and he did not look to Cain and his offering. And Cain glowed greatly with anger, and his face fell. So like we said, why was this? Because he brought a bloodless sacrifice. And that's what Christianity wants you to believe. They want you to believe the satanic quote that's in Genesis 3, a chapter before this, when Hava says to the serpent, you know, no, we cannot eat of that tree. If we even go near it or touch it, we'll die. And what did he say? You will not die. In that day, you will be like Elohim, knowing good and evil. But yet, the church of Christianity is telling the same thing today, that no, you're under grace. You can continue to sin. You can commit adultery. You could be homosexual. You could be whatever, and you're going to get eternal life. And it's the furthest thing from the truth. You don't see that anywhere in Scripture. You don't see anywhere in Scripture that sin leads to anything but death, right? And that, yes, Yahweh is merciful and he is all forgiving if we change, if we turn from sin, if we overcome. It's the overcomers that make the kingdom. And in the end time that we're living in, this hard world we're living in, very, very few are going to make it because of that. So Cain tried to bring a bloodless sacrifice. These false Christian teachers diminish and do away with Yeshua's sacrifice. It's either false grace or no grace. So they diminish his sacrifice. And I remember someone telling me one time that by me trying to be obedient to Yahweh, that diminishes their sacrifice of Yeshua. And I said, you want to know what diminishes the sacrifice of Yeshua more than anything? Is you teaching that you can continue to sin after accepting his blood. Because what does that make his sacrifice? It makes it nothing. It makes absolutely nothing. It brings it to nothing. It makes it common. And there's nothing that's more deceptive than that teaching. No law, no sin, no sacrifice. Drop down to verse 10 there. And he said, what have you done? The voice of the blood of your brother cries to me from the ground. And now you are cursed more than the ground which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it will not again give its strength to you. You will be a vagabond and a fugitive on the earth. And Cain said to Yahweh, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me from the face of the land today. And I shall be hidden from your face, and I shall be a vagabond and a fugitive on the earth. And it will be that anyone who finds me shall kill me. Right? So these people that go this way of this false grace, they become restless wanderers. They don't understand anything about covenant relationship. And they're basically, they have no covering. They have no covering at that point. So the second thing that the book of Judah told us was about Balaam's era. We talked about this some. Let's just go into it a little more. Numbers 22. Balaam's era. And what was it really his era? His era was he was a prostitute, right? Everything he did was for money, and they knew it. They knew it before they came to him, and that's why they made this offer that I'm going to read here. Numbers 22, 2 and 3. And Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab greatly feared because of the people, for it was many. And Moab was vexed by the presence of the sons of Israel. So what's happening here? Moab is afraid. They're afraid that Israel is going to destroy them the way they did like in Egypt. So the king of Moab is going to send and try to get Balaam to curse Israel. And he figures, hey, this guy is a prostitute. He does stuff for money. I'll do it that way. So if we drop down to verse 7, right? And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian left with the rewards of the seer in their hand. So the king had given them all these rewards to give to him. And they came to Balaam and spoke the words of Balak to him. Drop down to verse 16. And they came to Balaam and said to him, so says Balak, the son of Zippor, please do not be hindered from coming to me, for I will honor you with very much riches. And all that you say to me, I will do. Please come curse this people for me. Right? So it wasn't do it because it's right. It wasn't do it because you're, you know, a righteous man. It was do it for money. It was do it because we'll give you money to do it. And we see that today. And I'll tell you, when we were in Israel for all those years, volunteering at the bookstore and other avenues there, I met many, many big evangelists, you know, from the U.S. People like John Hagee and Zola Levitt and Benny Hinn and the other guy, Perry Stone and Jonathan Kahn. I mean, you name it. I met a lot of them. And there was one guy that I met that might not have been in right in that category, but he was pretty high up there. And he told me, he said, you know, and he knew what he was doing was wrong. He said, when I started, I really started with a good heart. He said, but once you have a 100,000 square foot warehouse, he said, you got to write a book every couple of months, whether you want to or not. And it's like the system that pulls you in. The same thing with politics. You know, politics is evil. Probably 90% of the politicians are evil, but they didn't all start that way. And some of them actually start out and want to do the right thing. Some of them come there and run, you know, because they're just everyday people that want to change the system. And you can't change that system. You can't. It's an evil system. You know, democracy, demonocracy, it's not Yahweh's way. So unfortunately, for some of these people that start out right, they just wind up and then they rationalize it. Well, at least I'm there and I can do a little bit of good. But is that really what Yahweh wants? Does he want us to rationalize our faith because we could do a tiny bit of good? And isn't it kind of ironic, even in the Trump administration, you know, I was excited with a lot of people that he was naming originally, thinking, wow, I've heard these guys on the radio, you know, that they're really solid people, and not one of them is fulfilling what they said they were going to do. Every one of them, and that's what they're thinking. Well, you know, at least I'm there. At least I can watch. But what good is it? What good is it unless you come out for the truth and stand for the truth, not 10% or 50%, but 100% of the time? What good is it? How do you sleep at night? You know, how can you go to bed at night knowing you're compromising on everything that you believe in? And this is exactly what happens within that system. Proverbs 23:23 says, obtain the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Obtain the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. And Yahweh's truth is free. Doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. What matters is the truth. And I look now like our Bible ministry in the States, and we didn't plan it this way. You know, it's Yahweh that does it. 70-80% of all of our Bibles that go out now go to prisoners. You know, so we don't deny anybody that asks for a Bible if they ask for it. And of course, you know, 99 out of 100 prisoners can't even get one penny for a donation, which is fine. But that's the point of it, you know, that we're doing it to help the people. And it's sad today that most of the people that need help are the ones that are in prison. And they're the only ones that are probably really freed, because most Americans are in prison. Most people in the world are in prison in their mind, and they don't even realize it. So praise Yahweh that at least he's working with some of these people. Matthew 10 and verse 8. Matthew 10 and verse 8 says, heal sick ones, cleanse lepers, raise dead ones, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely you give. Freely you receive, freely you give. So it's not, send me your catalog. You know, how much does it cost to hear a sermon? This is freely you receive, freely you give, because it's the word of Yahweh. Not only would it be wrong and immoral to do that, it would be stealing. It would be stealing Yahweh's word. How can I take the word of Yahweh and put a price tag on it for myself? because of that. 1 Kings 5. 1 Kings 5. And like I said, the saddest part for me is how it's normal, how people know it, and they just think it's normal, and they don't see anything wrong with it. 1 Kings 5. One, two, three. It says, and Hiram, the king of Tyre, sent his servants to Solomon, for he heard that he had anointed him king instead of his 2 Kings. Excuse me, 2 Kings 5. And Nahum, the commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and exalted man before his master, for Yahweh had given deliverance to Syria by him. And he was a brave warrior, but leprous. And the Syrians had gone out in the bands, and they seized the land of Israel, a little girl. And she was before Nahum's wife. And she said to her mistress, oh, that my master were before the prophet who was in Samaria. Then he would recover from his leprosy. Drop down to verse 8. And it happened when Elisha, the man of the Elohim, heard that the king of Israel had torn his garments, he sent to the king, saying, why have you torn your garments? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. And Nahum came with his horse and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go, and you will wash 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will return to you, and you shall be clean. Drop down to verse 14. And he went down and dipped in the Jordan 7 times, according to the word of the man of the Elohim. And his flesh returned like the flesh of a little boy, and he was clean. And he went back to the man of the Elohim, he and all his company, and came in and stood before him. And said, behold, now I know that there is not an Elohim in all the earth except in Israel. And now please take a blessing from your servant. And he said, as Yahweh lives, before whom I stand, I shall not take. And he pressed on him to take, but he refused. Drop down to verse 20. And Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of the Elohim, said, behold, my master has spared the Syrian Nahum not to receive from his hand that which he has brought. As Yahweh lives, surely I will run after him. Then I will take something from him. And Gehazi ran after Nahum. And Naaman saw one running after him and got down from the chariot to meet him and said, is there peace? And he said, peace, my master has sent me, saying, behold, this now 2 young men from the hills of Ephraim have come to me, to the sons of the prophets. Please give to them a talent of silver and 2 changes of garments. And of course, he's lying. And Naaman said, be pleased. Take 2 talents, and he forced these on him and bound 2 talents of silver and 2 purses and 2 changes of garments and gave to 2 of his young men, and they carried before him. And he came into the hill and took them out of their hand and put them away in the house and sent away the men, and they went. And he went in and stood by his master. And Elisha said to him, where are from, Gehazi? And he said, your servant did not go here or there. And he said to him, did not my heart go out when the man turned from his chariot to meet you? Is it a time to take silver and to take garments and olives and vineyards and flocks and herds and male slaves and slave girls? Yea, the leprosy of Nahum shall cling to you and to your seed forever. And he went out for him as leprous as snow. And, you know, to me, it's kind of sad that not all, because all these people do it. But I think the biggest perpetrators of this are the prophecy ones. The ones that are actually saying the end time is coming. I remember during Y2K 25 years ago, you know, and they're selling you all of this stuff and all this food and free stuff. And it's like, wow, you know, this stuff is expensive. And if it was really coming and the end was really coming, right, why would they be selling all this stuff and making millions of dollars? Why would it matter? Which shows you they don't even believe it. They don't even believe it, and yet they're doing it. And like Elisha said, is it a time to be taking money? If we really are that close to the end, is it a time that money should be the first thing on our minds? No. Nope. If the kingdom is close, why would we be so worried for money? And I'm not talking about, you know, although we don't have any salaried ministers or, you know, salaried people, you know, in our congregation, I don't take any salary or anything else. But recently, we do have some elders in Third World that have to take a little bit of money for food or a little bit of money, you know, for their, and it's not many, it might be a couple. But we know from Corinthians 9, I'm not going to go there, that there's nothing wrong with that. That's not what I'm talking about. There's a big difference between a Third World elder taking $50 or $100 a month, you know, to pay for food to his house than people making hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars selling videos and all other kinds of stuff, the word of Yahweh to people. So I just want to keep that in balance because of that. Revelation 2 and verse 12. Revelation 2 and verse 12. He says, I know your works and where you dwell, where the throne of Satan is, and you uphold my name and did not deny my faith, even in those days when that witness of mine appeared, my faithful witness, who was slain among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, that you have there those holding the teachers of Balaam, who taught Balak to throw a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, to eat idol sacrifices and to commit fornication. So, the same as we were reading, Yahweh calls it spiritual fornication, to sell his word. And we see it puts a stumbling block before brethren, spiritual fornication, for doing it. I remember years ago, there was one guy who was on TV and asking, you know, he's always asking money for prayers and all this stuff. I'm not going to mention his name, but I will mention that somebody who left his organization and wrote a book said that they found hundreds of thousands, maybe even in the millions, of prayer requests in the garbage that they never even opened. So they were just taking the money and not even doing the prayer, which is really, really, really sad. We know the end of Balaam, what happened. Balaam wound up, you know, getting killed. I won't go there, but you could see it in Numbers 31, verse 8, and then verse 13 through 16, if you're taking notes. But in the end, sadly, this is the outcome of all those who are marketing the word of Yahweh. Matthew 25, but the saddest part is not really the men that are out there doing the marketing, it's the people that are getting marketed, the people that are getting deceived by it. And Matthew 25 talks about, then the kingdom of heaven shall be compared to 10 virgins taking their lamps and went out to a meeting of the bride and the bridegroom, right? And 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. Those being foolish taking their lamps did not take oil with them. We know the oil is the Ruach, the Holy Spirit. And then at midnight a cry occurs, the bridegroom cometh, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins aroused and prepared their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there not be enough for us and you, but rather you go to those who sell and buy for yourself. But they going to buy, the bridegroom came, right? And then he locks the door. So what we see is the Holy Spirit, you can't buy it. It's something that you develop in your life by praying, by studying, by meditating, by fasting, you know, by the fruit that you're bearing in your life, and you can't give it to somebody. You can be an example to somebody, but each of us has to do the things in our life to bear the fruit, you know, that the Holy Spirit is growing with us. And unfortunately, for the ones that are taking the easy answers and thinking you can go out and buy it, as they go out to buy, what happens? The bridegroom comes and the door is closed, right? Afterwards, verse 11, the rest of the virgins came saying, Master, open to us. But answering, he said, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Therefore, be alert, for you do not know the day or the hour in which the Son of Man comes. And we're not meant to know it. We know the time, right? We know the general time of his coming, which we are in, but we're not to know the day or the hour. And Yahweh does that to test us, because he wants to see, are we really doing it just because we're fearing? Or are we really doing it because we love him and we believe in this? So, the bridegroom came, and the ones who were out buying and wound up being left out. Ezekiel 34. And Yahweh has put on this earth true shepherds for his people. But I'll tell you, for every true shepherd, there's 10,000 false ones. And Yahweh is not happy with them. And they'll get their punishment, but like I said, what grieves me is the poor sheep that have fallen. Pray for it. Because I can tell you in my walk, I've been blessed many times to be able to go into a congregation of Sunday keepers and in one message turned the whole congregation toward Yahweh that they were believing. There was one time when I was in Uganda and I don't remember exactly how many pastors there were there, but there was more than 100 Sunday pastors. At the end of that meeting, every single one of them, we were there about 4 hours, was believing. And that's the key. The key is, if the people sitting in the chairs can hear the truth, they're open to it. And that's what Yeshua said to the Pharisees. You block the way to the kingdom. You know, you keep yourself out and you block the other ones that are coming. And unfortunately, that's the way it works in this world. And that's why Yahweh is mad. Ezekiel 34, he says, the word of Yahweh was to me saying, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, to the shepherds, so says Adonai Yahweh, woe to the shepherds of Israel who are feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat, you clothe yourself with the wool, you sacrifice the fat ones, but you do not feed the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, you have not healed the sick, and you have not bound up the broken, and the banished have not been brought back. And yet you have not sought the lost, but you rule them with force and with harshness. And they were scattered for lack of a shepherd, and they became food to all the beasts in the field where they were scattered, right? And because there's not enough true shepherds, they went for these false ones. My sheep strayed through all the mountains and on every high hill, and my sheep were scattered on all the face of the earth, and none searched and none sought them out. And I think of Church of God when they broke up. You know, here it was, they had close to 150,000 people. And boom, when that broke up, people went in every direction. And sadly, a lot of them did get lost. For this reason, shepherds, hear the word of Yahweh. As I live, declares Adonai Yahweh, surely because my sheep became a prey, and my sheep became food for all the beasts of the field from not having a shepherd, and because my shepherds did not search for my sheep, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed the flock. So, O shepherds, hear the word of Yahweh. So says Adonai Yahweh, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep from their hand and cause them to cease from pasturing the flock. As the shepherd shall no longer feed himself, for I will deliver my sheep from their mouth, and they will not be food to devour. So Yahweh is not very happy about what's going on here. Let's go to Jeremiah 23. We also see where he talks about the same subject. Jeremiah 23. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says Yahweh. Because of this, so says Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, against the shepherds who shepherd my people. You have scattered my flock, you have driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit on you the evil of your doing, says Yahweh. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them there, and I will bring them again to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. And I will raise up over them shepherds, over them who will shepherd them. And they will fear no more, nor be terrified, nor will they be missing anything, says Yahweh. So really encouraging and motivating for the true shepherds of Yahweh to seek these people out. Drop down to verse 16. So says Yahweh of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, not out of the mouth of Yahweh. They say to those who despise me, Yahweh has said, you shall have peace. And they say to everyone who walks in the stubbornness of his own heart, evil shall not come on you, right? This is what the false message of Christianity is. For who has stood in the counsel of Yahweh, and who has seen and heard his word? Who has listened to his word and heard? Behold, the whirlwind of Yahweh has gone forth in fury, even a whirling storm. It will whirl on the head of the wicked. The anger of Yahweh shall not turn back until he has executed and until he has set up the purpose of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it perfectly. And here we are understanding it. I have not sent the prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and it caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. But they say the word of Yahweh doesn't even exist. They say it's done away with. Never mind, listen to it. I am an Elohim nearby, says Yahweh, and not an Elohim from afar. Or can a man hide himself in secret places so I do not see him, says Yahweh? Do I not fill the heavens and the earth, says Yahweh? I have heard what the prophets said, those who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, right? A lot of the stuff in Christianity is all these dreams and visions. How long is this there in the heart of the prophets of lies, yea, the prophets of deceit of their own heart? They plot to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell each one to his neighbor, even as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal, right? And what's the name of Baal in English? Lord. What are they prophesying in the name? The Lord. The Lord said this. The Lord God said this. And I've told someone right to their face, you are a liar. Because God is the Babylonian deity, and Yahweh never in his word is ever once prophesied in any name but Yahweh. So one way, if you see them prophesying in these false names, you know they're liars. And like he says, they plot to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams which they tell, each to his neighbor, even as their fathers forgotten my name for Lord for Baal. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell his dream, and he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What does the chaff to do with the wheat, says Yahweh, right? So I've had some dreams in my life, not a lot, but I'm not a person of dreams. But I can sure tell you the word of Yahweh. That's what I'm here to do every week, not to come and tell my dreams every week, but to tell the word of Yahweh. And like I said, he was a dream, let him tell the dream. He was my word, and let him speak it faithfully. What does the chaff have to do with the wheat? Is not my word thus like fire, says Yahweh, and like a hammer which breaks a rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, says Yahweh, I am against the prophets who steal my words, each from his neighbor. Yahweh says, behold, I am against the prophets who use their tongues and says, he says. And I remember in Israel all the time, sometimes people, he says, exactly like he says here. He says, he says, he says, never saying who he is, but saying he says. Yahweh says, behold, I am against those who prophesy false dreams and tell them and cause my people to go astray by their lies and by their foolishness. Yet I did not send them nor command them, and they will not profit this people at all, says Yahweh. So these are people, like I said, today you have people with all these apocryphal books, people getting people away from the truth. And Scripture says we are not even to welcome these people into our fellowship. We're into our home. Matthew 21, verse 12 and 13. And Yeshua entered the sanctuary of Yahweh and threw out all those selling and buying in the sanctuary, and he overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of those selling the doves. And he said to him, it has been written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you made it into a cave of bandits. Babylon has brought this commercialism, sadly. Like I said, it's in every aspect of our life. We're being brainwashed in every aspect, but the religious aspect is just so sad because people are used to it. People think it's normal, and it's not normal. Like I said, freely you receive, freely you give, and we need to be different. We need to be different from that. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 17. He says, for we are not as the many peddling the word of Yahweh, but according to the truth, as men of Yahweh, we speak through Messiah in the sight of Elohim. And this is why I was saying how important it was going to Mount Sinai. Because not just for me, I'm one person, right? And I have a platform Yahweh has given me, praise Yahweh for that. But each of you have a platform with the people you know, with the people. And each of us that went to Mount Sinai, we're witnesses. We're witnesses of what Yahweh's doing. We're witnesses of the truth. And we're witnesses why the importance of that, right? His real name in the end time. The marriage covenant being reinstituted in the end time. So we're not like the others out there peddling it. We're not there putting together videos on Mount Sinai to sell them for $50 online. We're just out there giving the truth to people and to help them so that they're not, they're not deceived by what's going on in the world. Two more scriptures and we'll be finished here. 2 Corinthians 6, 16 and 17. Because we need to be different. We need to be an example and to be different. It says, what harmony has the sanctuary of Elohim with idols? For you are the sanctuary of the living Elohim, as it is said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their Elohim, and they will be my people. Because of this, come out from among them and be separated, says Yahweh, and do not touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you. So we're not like the ones in the world peddling the word of Yahweh. And I do believe there is a harvest that's coming. And I believe if we're standing straight and we're standing in the truth, Yahweh will bring those people to us. And they're looking. The world is looking, like it says here, because they've had these evil false shepherds. And they're looking for true people. They're looking for truth. So for almost 2,000 years, the New Testament assembly were separated the way we are now in the wilderness. But that still doesn't mean they didn't witness and preach. There were more souls converted to faith during the wilderness time than any other time in the history, from about 1000 AD to 1500 AD, into millions of people. And the last scripture here, John 10. Because there really is only one true shepherd, who is Yeshua. And wow, what a great example he gives us. John 10, truly, truly, I say to you, that he who does not enter into the sheepfold of the flock by the gate, but climbs up by another place, he is a thief and a robber, right? These people don't believe in ordination. They don't believe in baptism. They just want to climb up another way, you know, by making a website or whatever they're doing. But the one entering through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The doorkeeper opens to him, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes in front of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will not follow a foreigner, never. But they will flee from him because they do not know the voice of the strangers. Very interesting, right? If we only follow the voice of Yeshua and his truth, we can never be deceived. Deception comes by Satan pulling on the ear, you know, the itching ears, and going out to these other things. These other things that are not scriptural. So we have to make sure we're only following the voice of the Master. They will not follow a foreigner, never. They'll flee from him because they do not know the voice of the stranger. Yeshua spoke this parable to them, but they did not know what it was which he spoke. Then Yeshua again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the gate of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the gate. If anyone enters through me, he will have life and will go in and will go out and will find pasture. The thief does not come except that he may steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life on behalf of the sheep. But the hireling, not even being a shepherd, right? The prostitute does not own the sheep. Who does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and forsakes the sheep and flees. And that's what these false people do. When the time comes, they're gone. They're not staying with the brethren. The wolf sees them and scatters the sheep. But the hireling flees because he is a hireling, and there is not a care to him concerning the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know those that are mine, and I am known by the ones that are mine. Praise Yahweh for that. The hireling is not the shepherd. And sadly enough, in the Christian world, they can't see the difference. And sometimes even in Sabbath circles, they can't see the difference. Matthew 20:26 says, he who wants to be greatest among you, let him be your servant. And that's where servant attitude comes from. The time is short. We must stop being part of the commercialized system of commercial Babylon. We must embrace the wilderness for our protection. Be separate from unrighteous, immoral system. What is called religion today by most is blasphemy to Yahweh. Yahweh bless. Shabbat Shalom.